Let's go to Revelation 17. Because of our language and the way we, our template for which we look at the world, it's extremely difficult for us to understand spiritual matters because they're not in the same ballpark. And so, Revelation 17 and 18 are about the destruction of Babylon. And Babylon, remember, everything in the Old Testament was a type or a parable or a tale about this mystery of God, all pointing to Christ, and Babylon was always the opposite of Christ. Paul said in Romans that there are only two things left. There are only vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy. And from that same look, that same viewpoint, then there are only two, the only two things that are left are the bride and Babylon, or the bride and the whore. And Hosea defines the whore as anyone that goes to someplace else other than God for your sustenance and your satisfaction, for your wine, your corn, and your oil. And we found out in our other studies, the studies of the feast, that the real god of Babylon is Bel, and Bel is a symbol for cause and effect. And we've studied over and over and over again how that the greatest enemy of grace and mercy is cause and effect. And so we're faced with something, and that is that there are only two things left. There's only the bride and Babylon. There are only vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy. And the question is, how can you be assured that you are a vessel of mercy as opposed to a vessel of wrath? It can't be evidenced by the things you do. It can't be evidenced even by the fact you go to Bible study. It can't be evidenced by the idea that you're a member of a Christian community. The only evidence of it is that you have stepped out of, you have come out of her, you have come out of Babylon, and you no longer live by cause and effect. Everybody hear me? Do you understand this? But how much of your day do you spend living in cause and effect? That's why I keep telling you that your mind is the instead of Christ. It's the Antichrist. Because all your mind is capable of doing is cause and effect. The moment you begin, the moment you lean on your own arm of understanding, then you move back to Babylon. You've fallen from his precious bride and you've joined with the whore. Can you? My prayer is that when you hear this and understand it, that maybe the fear of God's going to come upon you. Does anybody disagree with me or not understand something?
I'm just thinking about, I work in a world that cause and effect is all that there is. You do this and that happens.
Well, but you don't have to do it. That's the whole point. No, you don't have to live in cause and effect. You don't have to let your mind, you don't have to allow your mind to live in that arena.
I don't think I do, but that's what I think of when you're talking. That's where is cause and effect going on in my existence? The same as everybody else. I mean, it's anything going on in this world is.
But that's why the call is to come out of her, my people. So that we are not ever living in that arena. No matter what it is that we're so-called doing. Because what we are doing is living by his faith. No matter what the cost. Now, the test is, the real test is, when you panic. Something isn't going the way you think it should, or there's some need that you don't think is being met. Where do you go? Do you go to the Father? Or do you go to the mind to try to figure it out, get the solutions, to see what to do? Because, see, if Benjamin Franklin didn't invent it, you would. God helps those that help themselves. It's like in every generation, if there wasn't a belief in reincarnation, they would invent it in that generation. Because the human being will do anything to avoid the cross. And the human being will do any and everything to avoid hearing what I'm saying this morning. You will rationalize, you will justify, you will manipulate, you will shade and turn everything, and because that's all your mind can do. Except you be converted and become as this little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. The little child that he's talking about, remember we've said it a million times, it's the word technon. It means before self-awareness. It's a technical word. So how can I become, first of all, how can I be converted? But secondly, how can I become as that little child? How can I live in that moment of dependence in the same way that little child does without any consideration for my own welfare? This is the meaning of discipleship. What do you do the work of God? You believe on him who he has sent. And so these issues are not the kind of things that define points of doctrine that you decide, oh, this is my statement of faith. It's what do you live in your mind on a day-to-day basis? That's where God is. God doesn't care what your statement of belief is. God doesn't care about all of your alleged needs or your worries or your concerns. He cares that you become of value to him. And the only way to do that is by living in obedience. And the only way to do that is to know that at every moment I am risking everything in order to live by faith. Does that communicate?
I feel like as you were talking, I was realizing that I feel like I'm on, you know, those rides when you go to like a fair or something like that, these rides where you get into a car and they strap you in and it goes into like the fun house, you know, and it goes down the rail and it turns and twists and things jump out and stuff. I sort of feel like that's my life, that I'm in this thing and just being carried along by somebody who knows what they're doing, you know, and it goes up and it goes down and it's scary and it's funny and it's lots of different things, but I'm just all, sort of along for the ride and watching the show. And there's somebody who knows what they're doing running it. It's quite pleasant.
All right, let's go to Revelation 17. Anybody else have any thoughts?
Yeah, I was thinking that the seems to be a matter of repentance. Like, it always seems like the first thing that my mind does is trust in its own. It's go to itself, and then come to submit it. Like a few minutes later, hopefully.
Well, lucky we got. We introduced this to your guest, Ronnie.
Oh, that's Mr. Fox.
All right.
Mr. White.
All right, and then came, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, "Come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore which sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Now, the wine of Babylon's fornication, what is it? It's the same as the wine of Ephraim. It's self-seeking. You're drunk on the wine of self-seeking, and oh my God, you can really get into it. I mean, everything is right, everything is perfect in your life, and you're going on, it's gone. Because you're drunk on the wine of self-seeking. And you can convince yourself of anything. And all nations have committed fornication. All people, the word nations and people are the same. All people have committed fornication with this whore. And have been made, and all the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. This is the same beast in Revelation 13, right? That we saw coming out of the water, which is you. Now we see you again with the whore riding you. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. Now, most of modern evangelical Christianity says that the Catholic Church is the whore of Babylon. Well, that's just obscene. That's no more true than the Baptists are the whore of Babylon. Or the Muslims are the whore of Babylon. That's, God doesn't care about those stupid labels. He cares about the way of thinking. Doesn't matter whether you're a Muslim or no matter where you are, if you've come to the end of yourself and come to the end of self-seeking and come to the end of even trying to figure it out, then he is there because he's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But as long as you're a step away from that, always trying to get it right, always working it, always trying to benefit yourself, always thinking about, well, what can I do to help somebody else even, instead of believing on him who you sent, and you're part of the whore.
I was thinking about how the mind, the always gets when you say the mind can't, it only has certain abilities. It can't do anything with what it does. So, in what context is it valuable? And,
yes.
Yeah, and the, and then you say, believe on him who he has sent. Okay, there's something the mind can do.
No. No, the only way you can believe on him who was sent is you've come to the end of everything else. Believe is it? Believe is a word that means they rely on. Instead of relying in this, you now rely on this unseen.
With another point of abandonment of.
Right.
So that belief is.
Right. But in our language, believe is. I believe in Jesus, and I believe the light's on, and I believe I'm going to this, I'm going to do that, I believe in the American flag, or what, you know, I mean, it loses it. Remember, in Greek, it's en pistos. It means, this is believe. You let go, you drop, boom. And upon her forehead was a name written. Mystery, Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. You remember I've told you so often that prostitution isn't just the world's oldest profession, it's the world's only profession. How often today will you sell yourself? How often will you sell your birthright for a thought or a judgment? Instead of, at least Esau had a bowl of porridge. Everybody understand me? And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. It doesn't mean he loved her, but that's another story. And the angel said unto me, wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carried her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. Remember these 7 mountains. And again, there are this, remember, there are 7 mountains in Rome. That's in the, and the city of Rome is built on 7 hills. They're not mountains. And again, so people, there it is, right there. It's Rome. No. You remember when we studied it? There are 7 high places in your mind, in all men's minds. And that's where she sits, on the mountains. Okay? We're going to run out of time. We'll continue there later. I want to get into something else. Let's go to Isaiah 50. Isaiah 5:0. Now, again, remember the. You and I crucified Christ. You got to hear that. As we were part of Babylon, as the Jews were part of Babylon, the Roman Empire was part of Babylon. All right. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? Whom have I put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, your iniquities, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves. And for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, there was no man. When I called, there was none to answer. Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I have given my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore I shall not be confounded, or I shall not be ashamed. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust only in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. But behold, all you that kindle a fire, that surround yourselves about with sparks, and walk in the light of your own fire, and in the sparks that you have kindled, this shall you have of mine hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. Now you've all, most of you, have been here long enough to know and to understand and to have seen this over and over. Every single time that you've walked in the sparks that you have kindled, and that's what these ideas are you have, they're sparks. And you walk in the light that you have kindled. It sounds so great, and you can really get sustenance from it. Because you spend all the income you're going to make from the idea before the idea comes to fruition. Do you understand what I'm saying? You gain tremendous sustenance and satisfaction from that moment. But then you're empty. And this shall you have of mine hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. Now, as he is in this world, so are we. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. This is the way Babylon will always treat you. This is the way your Babylon up here will always treat the mystery, the seed. Because if you do think you believe, what you're doing is you're trying to believe for what you can get out of it. And that's not belief. You're trying to get fixed. You're trying to get something for yourself. I'm trying to get peace. I'm trying to get peace of mind. I'm trying to get contentment. I'm trying to get satisfaction. I'm trying to get. I'm trying to get. I'm trying to get. That's why I've said so many times, people will come here for a million reasons. You say 1,000, but they'll stay for only one. We'll study Babylon some more. I'm losing it here. Anybody have any response? Comments? Questions?
This was very gooey.
What does that mean?
You know, life is really messy. You know, birth is sticky and gooey and liquids and stuff. It's like, for some strange reason, that's the feeling I was getting. This is very bloody. It's not neat and clean. It's very down into the goo of life. That's where understanding really is.
Anybody else?
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, if
thought Gary was nuts when he started talking. But
I was,
I was thinking exactly the same thing when you said something about even if you think you believe you're doing it, you know, so that you can get fixed or you can get something. And it finally dawned on me that the Christian life, the Christian walk, is not sitting in the stands watching the game or being up in the booth doing the color commentary of the game. It's being in the game. And there's just no comparison between those things. Being on the ground, getting hit in the face and bleeding is completely different than watching somebody get hit in the face and bleeding.
You know, that's why.
So you can never pull yourself out of the experiment and look at the experiment. You're in it. And the moment you do that, you're back out. I mean, it's either on or off. You're either in or out. And it's just that just dawned on me.
Well, that's why I've said for so many years that you've got to stop watching movies. You've got to be the movie.
It's a nanosecond by nanosecond walk. It's not something you can look at and talk about and think of. I mean, you can't do it.
You know, to me, the most boring people in the world are the observers. The people that watch. They watch life go by. And what they're really doing, the reason they're watching life go by is because they're sitting in judgment of everybody else. Because they don't have the courage to get in the fray. God help you if you're a watcher or an observer, especially around here. Glenn Evans came and talked to me. He has this deal with his ex-wife's husband that really sent him on a loop. I said, Glenn, that's nothing, you know, it's cool. It's not happening to you anyway. I mean, it's, you know, temptation of Christ, etc. And then I said, you must know that from the day that we became Trinity Foundation, I have continually prayed this prayer. I said, to the world, the devil, and the flesh, take your best shot. And he said, can you stop praying that for a day? No. Because if it stops for a day, then we revert to Babylon.
That was that thing Harry and I went to last night about the Tolkien, Lord of the Rings. He said something really cool about the hobbits.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Hobbits are little people in this.
Never mind. Go ahead. Just
like the, sorry,
you'll understand this. The problem with these hobbits is they don't have any problems. They're just people who everything is fine. And they're like, God, what would life be like if we didn't have any problems, had no suffering, had no pain? You know, a lot of people think that's what they want.
Everybody thinks that's what they want.
Yeah, and they strive for that.
Makes you a bastard and not a son. Okay, take a big guy.